Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Okay. Welcome to our brand new podcast, where we talk all things telly with me, Claire.
And me, Rebecca. Each week, we'll be chatting through what shows we've been watching.
And we'll be keeping you in the loop as to what you should be serious linking in the coming 7 days.
At the end of the episode, one of us will pick something for the other to watch so we can chat about it next time.
And we'd love it if you would tune in along with us.
This is Spilling the TV. Claire, it's the difficult second album, episode 2.
I know. Oh my God, the rock stars that we are.
I know. It was so lovely, yeah. I think, to hear from people who listened. You know that kind of feeling where you're thinking, oh God, are people going to go, who does your one think she is? I definitely had that, Claire.
I know. I don't know how much older I am than you. Maybe, I don't know, maybe 10 or 12 years. I don't care so much anymore. Like, obviously, you know, I don't want people to really hate it. But I don't mind taking a chance on something. And I'm sure, look, what else would you be doing on a Tuesday night?
Apparently we have very soothing voices, Claire.
Mm, yeah. I don't know if my husband would agree with that.
Or mine. Okay, so if you didn't listen to the first episode, first of all, go back and listen to it because there's absolutely some quality content in there, really hard-hitting stuff. Yeah. But if you didn't listen to it, you will have missed the fact that myself and Claire were brought together by our mutual love for Married at First Sight Australia. Mm-hmm. And last night, for me, so we're recording on a Tuesday, so last night was Monday, I watched the final episode.
Me too.
Talk to me, what did you think of the episode?
I loved the episode. So if we think about what was handled in the episode, the couples, their relationships were handled and where they're at now. And then they covered a little bit about the relationship between Dom and Olivia. And in terms of covering the relationships, I thought that Jackson and Olivia got a soft run. Because basically Jackson has moved across the country to New South Wales to be with Olivia. And I think, to be honest, the only reason he's done that is because he knows that the relationship wouldn't survive if she moved into his world, because she just would alienate him from every single member of his family, every friend he ever had. Mm. And I wish the experts had have delved a little bit more into that decision and put it in context a little bit about how a relationship needs to survive. It can't survive as a vacuum. It has to have other people involved in it. So I think they let them off there. Then if you go to the relationship between Cody.
I know. And Selena. Yeah, it was really heartbreaking, wasn't it? But it was surprising.
Probably not really surprising. But actually, do you know what I think? You know when someone says, it's not you, it's me. Mm. I think in this case, that is what it is. Mm. I think Cody doesn't really know how to love anybody. Mm. There's something more to Cody that we don't know. I think he's either got trauma in his life or there's something there he cannot relate to his own emotions, never mind connect with someone else's emotions.
She was so heartbroken. But I know what you're saying, because you were looking at Cody there and there was like, you couldn't but kind of go, oh, this poor guy.
And I think actually my 15-year-old daughter, she watched it with us last night and has been watching it with us. She actually said, but Mum, do you not think that Selena would have just fallen in love with anyone? Mm. And I said, I think you could be right, because she was just ready for a relationship and she was trying to make it work with him. Mm. But Why?
She was 100% in, wasn't she, from the minute she walked up the aisle?
Yeah, she was.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's a bad guy. I think he probably did really like her. He just knows that he can't give her what she needs. And he needs to sort himself out. I really do believe that.
Olivia and Dom.
Dom was really annoying me the whole way through the episode.
Was she? Yeah. See, for me, okay, what my thoughts on that episode last night was, I was kind of like, oh, are we really rehashed? Like, do we need this episode? I just felt like we've seen all this. These are things we've been through. Now,
That's true. There
was a few bits where, okay, you cannot deny that it was good TV when they showed the group, how the affair started with Carolina and Daniel.
Oh, yes. Because we had already been on that journey, but the group hadn't seen it.
And I do think there was little bits, like little moments when, for example, Dom got a bit of redemption when they showed the breaking the glass moment.
Although, do you know what, actually? She did, in that Olivia had been saying that she was waving the glass around like a weapon, which clearly wasn't the case. But the actual breaking of the glass was pretty, I was kind of...
I know. But you see, I found that at the time, like it was really intense.
And it was.
Like it was, do you know what it was? It was just a human being a human with human flaws.
Yes,
and it was just really ugly. But like... And I, my feelings towards Dom, I find her a bit annoying sometimes and, you know, a little bit self-righteous. But like, to be fair to her, whether it was driven by producers or not, she did kind of like sit down and you could see she was mortified.
Yeah.
And she did just go, look, that was really out of order. Hands up. So, you know, there was that. But like, so what about her annoyed you?
It was just the constantly chipping in on other people's relationship. And we hadn't gotten to the point where we were going to discuss her relationship with Jack. I felt like saying, just pipe down now there for a minute, because you've lots to say about other people's relationship, and yet there are things in your own relationship that are maybe could have been handled better.
But she was always like that.
She was, but it was like, it was just incessant, I thought, last night.
Yeah.
The chipping in and the chipping in.
I think that Dom benefited from a really smart edit and edit producer towards the end, because was this storyline where Dom was quite tricky throughout, and then all of a sudden, like, Olivia was doing herself no favors, and we had a really juicy storyline, and I think that she was cut in a certain way.
She
maybe.
Was. Oh, absolutely.
But I have to say, in the whole, I was like, we've seen this.
Yeah.
And like, even like with the Dion, Carolina, Daniel story, I feel like, okay,
there was a lot of sanctimonious sort of judgment of them, wasn't there?
Yeah, I mean, like, we all know.
Go and sit on the bold step.
Yeah, and like, it's not easy to defend him with, you know, or her. Like, sometimes I wonder, do these people make a conscious decision to be a baddie because they think that it'll be...
They get them more airtime?
Yeah.
Or well, like, I think that was certainly the case with Celine.
Oh,
last night,
no, trying to be provocative.
My husband said, she is really stirring the pot because she knows this is her last 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah, I could see that.
Because she was getting airtime, whereas poor Samantha got none at all.
Oh, I know. She has a bit of a mean streak.
Oh, she has a real mean streak. She has a real mean streak.
I will say that, having watched her on Married at First Sight Australia for many, many episodes, I'm definitely going to try doing pink eyeshadow sometime.
Oh, yeah.
That was really cool.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Sure, why not? Go for it.
Into the office.
Absolutely.
Oh, what about Al's little special VT?
Oh, the experts loved him, didn't they?
Yeah. Get that guy a spin-off.
Yes. Yeah. He's so pure. And even if when there's, you know, acrimony around him, and he's looking with his eyes are out on saucers like he's never contemplated anything like it in his life. He's just great, telly.
Had you ever heard of a shoey before?
No. But clearly it's Australian.
It must be pretty gross, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Dion storyline. I would love to be like, pro Dion 100%, but like, sometimes he just and I understand he's been completely, he probably feels like he's been embarrassed on international TV, but like, sometimes some of his digs, I'm just kind of going, oh man, I don't know, I feel like he'll say something, cut to the group all laughing and all kind of, you know, gang up on one person, and here's me, I just call Dom sanctimonious, and I'm like, they're so but do you know what I mean? I feel
you're
like
absolutely
sometimes
right. They had heroes and villains
the
whole way through. That was it, and there was no room for any shade in the middle or anyone who might be more than a one-dimensional character. So Dion was this hero that they all loved, and anything he said is funny, but the same privilege was not afforded other people.
Even with Dion, like, you do have to wonder, like, how much of it is him kind of going, like, oh, if I say, like,
oh, yeah,
this, or, you know, okay, this is so cynical of me, but he's like, you know, really, like, and even for Carolina, I just wish her love. And you're going, no, you don't.
No, you don't. you want to stab her through the head.
Yeah, you couldn't. You just couldn't. You can't be that, like, diplomatic. Just say something mean.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that's a really good point. I think that that's actually it. And maybe that's why it's so... Maybe that's why it's so addictive.
I don't know, though, because I think you're right, though. I think the viewer can see through that, and maybe they should treat us with a little bit more intelligence and let us see the shades and let us make up our own minds.
Okay, Claire, anything else this week? I know we mentioned a few things to keep an eye out for, but did you go off script and watch anything that we hadn't planned to watch?
I did, and there's something that maybe you might like to watch this week, or the listeners might like to watch this week.
Dear listener.
I watched a documentary on Abercrombie and Fitch.
Oh, I saw that come out on Netflix.
Yeah, White Hot. It's really good. It's very succinct. It doesn't labour the points that it's trying to make, but it's about, you know, the racism and sexism and, you know, and query some sexual abuse that went on as well, but it's really good, really well handled, nice and succinct.
So is it about employees who worked like on the shop floor, mm-hmm. or that kind of level? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then being taken away in photo shoots and what happened on the photo shoots and that kind of thing. Yeah, so really interesting, really enjoyed that.
I watched, Claire, it's called, okay, you'll know it, Dopesick.
Oh, Rebecca, it's so good, isn't
it? It's so good. It's actually, so I watched it this week. We finished it last night. But I actually started it 2 weeks ago. And I remember after about 4 episodes, I remember saying to Craig, I actually can't watch this for a few days. It was so harrowing that I actually was like, do you know what? We stopped for about 5 days and then we went back to it. It's brilliant. It's so good. I'd actually love to read the book. I think it might be a little bit bamboozling because...
there's so much legality and all of that, and the different phases with the attorneys and all that. Yeah, it was so good, though.
For anyone who hasn't seen it, just to give you an idea, it's about OxyContin in the States and the family who produced it, the Sackler family. It's about the abuse of it, the addiction that came from it, the absolute destruction that came from it.
And really, really to do with the false marketing around it.
Oh my God, yeah. It's brilliant, and it's... just the acting in it, and it's brilliant. It's heartbreaking, though, isn't it? It's a hard watch.
I mean, it's really hard. Michael Keaton is just fabulous, and talk about a fallen hero.
Brilliant character.
It was a heartbreak to watch.
His face throughout.
Yes.
Like, was that, like, is that makeup? Like,
I don't know, but you know, actually, even just watching an actor's face, like his, and all the emotion and the ravages of drugs on his face, whether it was makeup or whether it was his face, it was just captivating. Like, you felt you could burrow a tunnel to his soul through the creases in his face, you know. It was just incredible. I would actually watch that again.
Would you?
Yeah, I would, because it's been a while since I watched it, and it was heavy going, and you're kind of like drained at the end of it.
Yeah, I would really recommend it to anyone. I mean, yeah, it is a tough watch. Fabulous. It goes without saying that it's... But I think it's one worth watching.
Yeah.
Anything else?
So I watched, obviously, my beloved Derry Girls. I'm loving this series. I think it's getting sort of mixed reviews, but I'm loving it. I absolutely love it. And I actually think I've grown to love Derry Girls more and more and more over the series.
Do you feel like being from the North... do you feel that that's a factor in your absolute love?
I 100%. I mean, Michelle, some of the things that Michelle comes out with and the phrases like, I'm going to book and wise up, and I just love it. It really does remind me of going to school in the North in the like 80s and 90s. It reminds me of that so much. It's so witty. It's so well observed. Love Aunt Sarah. Love the mum. Yeah, God, John Hume is wild about the piece. You know, it's brilliant. So I love it. Yeah. I'm just thinking now, actually, do you know what we haven't talked about?
What?
And I know it's more reality TV.
Go on.
But I binged in two sittings. I binged Selling Sunset.
let's discuss, because I fear you're not going to be happy with what I have to say about Selling Sunset, Claire.
No, I think I'm probably on the same page as you, actually. And I don't know what you're going to say, but I suspect you're going to say there's a lot of rehashing old ground on it. But it's still really good telly. But I don't know. I actually think I just love it because I love watching the houses. And I'm fascinated by the twins.
So have you finished the series?
Completely.
So I watched, I'm going to say 3 or 4, and I was like, I just felt like it was rubbish.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, Rebecca.
I know. I knew you weren't going to like this from me. So why did I think it was rubbish? I just felt like it was too self-aware or something. Or like even the Christine stuff, it's like it's a bit panto or something for me.
Oh, it's totally panto.
I don't enjoy any of the storylines. I feel like we don't actually get into under anyone's skin. I feel like the houses are all starting to look the exact same. You know, like I remember watching...
Yeah, that's true.
I remember watching series one and being like, oh my God, look at these houses. They're amazing. But now there's like... I feel like it's so one-dimensional. It's all the same house. It's all the same kind of interiors.
Yeah.
We haven't gotten to know any of the sellers. And I think it's become really like careful on that.
Panto.
Yeah. And even, is it Jason? Is he the guy going out with Chriselle?
Yes.
Even Jason is like, you know, it's like he sat down with the crew and was like, okay, I wasn't happy with how open I was, and you know, I want to make sure that I come across like I'm really into my clients, because there was a few really pointed kind of, you know, things where he was letting people know what a great kind of guy he is to work with.
Okay,
this is ridiculous, right? But you know, so that new girl, the English girl, she's like, look, I don't know whose word to take, you know, I'm just going to be Christine's friend.
Yeah.
I'm like,
you've watched the show.
Well, that's it. I'm like, it's on Netflix.
Yeah, watch it. Catch up.
That really bothers me. It's like, I think if you're going to do reality and you're going to do it well, and we've given out a little bit about Married at First Sight, but it does talk about the fact that it's a TV show. It does own the fact that it's a TV show. But
that's not, you know, we're trying to pretend that this is fly on the wall when it's quite orchestrated. No, you're right.
Am I being harsh, Claire?
No, I don't think you're being harsh. I think you're spot on. I actually think you're spot on, but I still binged it.
There are some things that I love that are I know, not highbrow, not really hard-hitting, and I love that TV, but I just thought this was a bad example of reality. And as we know, I'm a reality fan. I just thought it was rubbish.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's you finished with it now then.
That's me. I'm not going to finish the series, and that says a lot for me. Last week we chatted about some things that we thought people should keep an eye out for. Shall we have a little reflection on what we mentioned?
Yeah.
Was it me or you? One of us mentioned Chivalry on Channel 4.
You mentioned it.
Yeah. Steve Coogan, Sarah Soleimani. Mm-hmm. Did you watch?
I did.
Yeah. Your thoughts?
So after the first episode, I thought I wouldn't bother watching the rest. And then I did watch the second one, and then I watched all of them. They were very short episodes. And again, I didn't like either of them, but they were very flawed. Mm-hmm. And I thought, at times I thought, maybe she was a bit one-dimensional. But I think that was intentional, actually, to portray her like that. But I actually really enjoyed it then, as it went on.
They were really... I honestly laughed out loud at that moment with Paul Rudd and Steve Coogan. Do you remember that
scene? Oh, yeah, when you met him in the park.
I felt the exact same as you. Like, I think I probably wanted to be pro her and for her to be the kind of voice of reason and to be, like, you know, kind of setting down the moral boundaries. Yes. And then when she started to kind of, like... It was when she grabbed him.
When she grabbed him. I was thinking, what's that about?
And then you're kind of going, okay, so sorry. Okay, that actually makes sense. I mean, they are both... two human characters.
Yes.
And I think that's probably what the overall commentary is. Now, I've only actually watched episode 1 and 2, but I will continue it. I love the opening graphics, and I think it's really, it's kind of easy to watch. Yes. It's a little bit thought-provoking.
Yes. It reminds me a little bit of, did you watch Episodes?
Yes.
It kind of reminds me of the production value and just the whole feel of it kind of reminds me of that a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I enjoyed it. And I don't know that I liked either of them any more at the end of it, but I enjoyed the arc of their story and their characters and stuff.
So are we saying we think people it's I worth think, people's time?
Yeah, I think, because actually it's a short time. And yeah, I would recommend it.
Did you watch DIY SOS The Big Build?
Oh my God, Rebecca.
I know.
I was bawling.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Did you watch it?
I did. I watched it and I was actually thinking about you. I was like, Claire is going to be in bits. Did you enjoy it?
Oh, I loved it. Mm. I was bawling.
Yeah. Like, I think I have a thing where I feel like Irish people like hearing Irish people's stories.
Yes.
I just thought she was just such a gorgeous person.
She was.
Did you like Baz as a presenter?
Oh, I loved him. I thought he was perfect for it. I thought he was perfect. Mm. And I love, yeah, you're right. We love, you know, hearing those Irish stories, and we love when hearing a community coming together.
I know. You know? It's just, I think there's a magic in it, and I think Baz has a lot to do with it. And I actually read a criticism of him, and I think the point being made was that they felt like he was being too jokery and taking over. And I actually didn't agree with that at all. No. And I felt like you can just see him, like there's things he does where you could see him with the kids and he was like picking one off the counter. Yeah. Or you could see he was a dad himself and you could see he...
Very much so.
I don't know. I feel like I just think he's such a great fit for it. And I don't think that was a fair comment. And like, yeah, there are scenes where like there's a bit of a kind of like, I remember there was a scene with like people dressed up as Vikings all of a sudden. And you could go, okay, what?
But
like, do you know what? It works. Yeah. And I bought into it. Yeah. And you can see everyone there buys into it. And I just think it's beautifully made. Mm. I think one of the things I always think when I'm watching TV like that is obviously the volunteers were amazing. Mm. The family, she was such a gorgeous person. Her family were fantastic.
I know.
But like you just see how good the production crew are at making people comfortable. And I think, like, okay, this is obviously something that is in my brain because I work in that world. And I don't want to sound like self-indulgent in this at all, but I do think that those things are hard to work on.
Yeah.
And you can just see how comfortable the contributors were.
You know what? You're absolutely right, because I even noted that when they were interviewing her friends at one stage, they were so comfortable on screen talking about her. Now, obviously, the subject matter was very close to them and they felt happy to talk about her. But there was a real ease there and I thought that was brilliant.
So will you be keeping with the series?
I will. I think that's a real family one for us now on a Sunday, which is great.
I'm glad you like that. Heartstopper on Netflix.
Oh, I'm not... Yeah, it's going to sound like I did nothing this week but watch TV. Yeah, I loved it.
Did you finish it?
No, we haven't finished it. I'm watching it with the kids because it's 12 cert. I think it's perfect for them. It introduces issues that we all need to be talking about and exploring, like relationships, whether they're heterosexual or same-sex, friendships, bullying. It's got everything in there and
graphics.
It handles its graphics. Yeah, the graphics are gorgeous.
I know. I love it as well. It's a warm, fuzzy one. Mm. But it's also, like you mentioned, the topics are quite heavy. One part of me, I feel like, and I know I said I love a coming-of-age drama, I think this was the first one I've watched where I felt really old and slightly maybe disconnected from the characters.
Mm.
They just seemed so young. And I remember seeing when I saw Olivia Colman feature, I kind of went, oh, amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, oh my God, is that because I now relate more with the moms in these stories?
Probably.
Like, I don't know about you. Did you watch over the years, like things like Skins or Misfits?
Yeah.
And like,
what was the other one that was the comedy? The Three Lads.
Inbetweeners.
Yes.
And like, never would I've ever looked really to a parent character in this.
No.
But like, God, I'm there now.
Yeah, well, I definitely was looking at it through the eyes of my two teenagers.
Mm.
You know, they're sitting right beside me watching it and I'm watching their reactions and they're really invested in the characters.
Mm.
Both of my children, a girl and a boy, are invested in the two boys and hoping that they don't hurt each other.
Mm, I know. I love the scenes. Like, they're really gentle. There's not much happening. But you know when they're texting each other and you see them typing, you see
and
them
then
deleting.
He reads it, yeah.
And you see the dots.
Yeah.
It's just so, like, they're gorgeous.
Yeah.
Are you recommending it to people to watch?
I actually think if you've got teenage kids, it's a really good one to watch. I think probably if I was in your position, you've got a young or toddler, I don't know if I would be as connected with it.
Yeah, I think that's where I am. I feel like I'm probably falling between two stools where I'm not young, cool and trendy anymore. And I'm also not relating to teenagers anymore.
Yes,
oh my God.
You're not over the hill like me.
No, that's not what I mean at all.
But yeah, no, we'll watch it together. It wouldn't be something that I would choose to go and watch on my own.
Yeah.
But I'll definitely watch it with them.
Shall we talk about things that are coming up this week? I don't think I've ever used the word shall, and now I record a podcast and I'm a person who says
shall we?
Shall we, Claire?
Yes, let's.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, go on. Let's hear your recommendations.
Oh, you're so mean.
So I've chosen something that's coming up on Thursday. But I can't pronounce it. It's on Tiji Kahar.
Mahu.
And it's called
Unfold.
Oh, don't let me give a go. Okay. It's called Unfold Deiranach.
Unfold Deiranach, yeah.
Oh, that wasn't bad.
Yeah. So I speak Irish and I work through Irish. And I was delighted to see you put this down. And do you watch Tiji Kahar?
I would, yeah. Probably more, I don't necessarily schedule myself to watch it, but I'll come across it and I'll get, you know, into something that's on. The reason I chose this is because it's about the peatlands in rural Ireland, their existence, what they mean to people. Should we be digging
it's
them
Monk
up?
It's Monaghan, is it?
Yes. Okay. And I saw him interviewed on Tommy Tiernan and just really, really was enthralled with him. And also, I suppose, it's very topical at the moment, this whole issue in government at the moment. And also, I just have a real soft spot for turf. My father was obsessed with turf.
Yeah.
You kind of knew that you got the seal of approval if you came to our house and he sent you home with a bag of turf.
Brilliant.
You know, so I really wanted to watch that. I think it'll be quite nostalgic for me. And also, it's very topical.
Oh, so when is that on? It's
on Thursday at 8 on TG Cahar.
Amazing. I will tune in. I love Monk McGann. Do you follow him on Instagram?
I don't, but I am going to start.
I see what you have written there. Ozark.
Oh, the big one. So the second half of the final season is dropping this Friday. Mm-hmm. And I cannot wait for this. I cannot wait. I cannot wait.
I loved the first season. I loved it. And then, I don't know, it wasn't on my radar. And we all know, you and I both know I'm a big Jason Bateman fan. Mm. So I must go back.
So definitely Ozark in the middle section, middle few series, drops off a little bit, I think. Mm-hmm. But definitely stick with it, because then after a while it gets better and better and better.
It's and so tense.
Tension.
Yeah, you see, I think that was probably one of the things. It just was so tense all the time. Mm. And then their relationship was so, it was so
toxic.
It was hard to watch. Mm. That I think, I don't know what happened. Do you know what? Sometimes you move away from a series don't really mean to. But
And I think it can just be where you're at. You want to watch something joyous or fun or light. And this isn't any of those things.
Yeah.
But it is funny.
Okay, yeah, I need it to go back
funny.
To it. It is funny. I have noted Beauty and the Bleach. Ooh. So, you know, do you watch Queer Eye?
No.
So this guy, Tan France, so he's in Queer Eye and he is presenting a documentary on bleaching, so skin bleaching and the pressure to be whiter.
Oh my goodness.
So I just thought that kind of just caught my eye. Yeah. So I'll definitely check that out. It's on Wednesday the 27th at 9 p.m. on BBC Two. Okay, so shall we discuss what I asked you to watch this week, Claire?
So you asked me to watch Yellow Jackets.
And you hadn't heard of it.
I hadn't heard of it. I cannot believe I hadn't heard of it. It's fabulous. It's like Stranger Things meets Lost meets Lord of the Flies.
That's a good description. Okay, so just to give people an idea of what the series is about. So in 1996, a team of New Jersey high school soccer players travels to Seattle for a national tournament. While flying over Canada, their plane crashes deep in the wilderness and the remaining team members are left to survive for 19 months. The series chronicles their attempts to survive while also tracking their current lives in 2021.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It's so good.
The cast. Oh. Christina Ricci.
Yeah. Oh. She's fabulous.
She's such.
And Juliette Lewis.
Oh my God, she's so cool, isn't she?
Oh, she's amazing. That, the main actress, I can never remember her name, but she has been in...
Melanie Lynskey, is
yes.
it?
Yes. Yeah. She has been in so much.
Yeah.
And she's one of those fabulous actresses that you can't place her because she... It's such a good actress.
She becomes the person. Yeah, Shawn is a good character, isn't she? And
I love
actually,
Shawn's
I think
character.
The young and the old portrayal are quite similar.
Mm-hmm.
And both equally really good.
Very good. I'm afraid of giving any spoilers for it because I think people should watch it.
What I will say, and again, feel free to switch off as well if you do want to watch Yellow Jackets. But it's one of those ones where... You kind of wonder yourself, is this going down like the zombie route or the kind of supernatural route? And that's not for me.
Me either.
But it hints at that, but never kind of
goes there.
Goes there.
Oh, I'm glad of that because there are hints of that, and I wouldn't really be into that. That's kind of where the Stranger Things sort of reference that I was thinking of, because there's a bit of that in it. But yeah, I'm loving it.
The Jackie and Shauna friendship, the kind of really cool, really pretty, popular girl, and then Shauna, who's a little bit quieter than her. So what are you thinking about? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's a really interesting friendship, and not an unfamiliar dynamic, I suppose, in reality, really. Like, I even think, if you think of Sex and the City, like, the only reason Charlotte is friends with Carrie is because Carrie's her cool friend, because Charlotte's so straight-laced. So it's a similar dynamic, but in a different way.
Are you putting Charlotte, I would have said, like, Miranda and Carrie in this instance.
Miranda, yeah. Like, why is Miranda friends? Yes, yes, Miranda.
Okay. Listen, that's a chat for another day.
That's a chat for another day. Okay. But yes, it's a really interesting one, and you wonder what they're both getting out of the relationship. And again, I don't want to spoil it for people.
I know.
But I suppose there's more complexity to that relationship than meets the eye initially.
So you're into it, basically.
Oh, totally into it.
Hook, line, and sinker. So Claire, Yellow Jacket seems to have been a good suggestion for you to watch. And this week it's your turn to give me something to watch.
Okay, I don't know how you're going to feel about this. But have you watched any of the Drive to Survive series?
That's the Formula One stuff.
Yeah.
So I haven't. And the reason I haven't is because Craig, my husband, he started it without me.
Okay.
And then he watched it. And then, yeah, no is the answer.
You might feel like it's not something you would watch on your own.
Okay.
But it's fascinating.
Okay.
So yes, it's against the backdrop of Formula One, which in itself actually is probably quite exciting, really. Mm-hmm. But it's the whole, you know, what drives people, what all the machinations of the team coaches and how they try to spook each other.
And it's totally fly on the wall, isn't it?
Totally
it's like
fly
access.
The wall. And when they started it, only a few teams kind of participated in it.
Okay.
And then when they saw how it was received, then more and more teams. So now I think all of the top teams are participating in this fly on the wall documentary. It's fascinating. And especially in the context of what's going on in Russia. And, you know, oligarchs being thrown out of countries and of teams as well. Really good, this series at the moment.
Is it Netflix?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll definitely give that a go and I will report back next week. Claire, I think we have covered everything for week two. We have our recommendations lined up. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We're going to do that really embarrassing thing where we ask you if you'd be happy to leave us a rating on when you listen to the podcast. How do we do that? That's not cringy.
That's good.
Was that good?
That's good. Okay. No, we're just asking, you know, if you like the podcast, just leave us a little rating. We really appreciate it and we really value you listening. Just chatting about our favourite TV shows.
Thank you so much for listening. We still have our Instagram up and running, so we're at Spilling the TV. We'd love if you'd follow us. Until next time, dear listener, thanks Claire.
Overnight.
That
Bye-bye.
Was fun.
Yeah, thanks Rebecca.
an article, I think it was.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.